Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. How you doing, Mel?
I'm doing good. How are you, James?
Doing good. 8:05 on the clock here. Looks like our Weather Center people a little busy this morning, not able to join us.
That's not surprising.
No, not at all. With everything they have going on and with what we have coming.
I already saw that there's a lot of accidents in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So the snow's coming. We're going to have rain. It's going to be kind of icky today.
We are definitely going to be keeping an eye out on the weather here locally and Portage Wood, counties. And I can tell you right now here in Wisconsin Rapids, there is a London-type fog out there.
Yeah, it's a bit hazy here, too.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, everybody. Leave a little early if you have to. Give each other grace on the road. Look out for each other. A lot going on out there today.
Expect it to be slippery. Just go with that expectation.
That's the way to put it. Yeah, nicely said. Yep. We'll get into Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. Looking forward to that a little bit later. We're also going to get into an easier way to lose weight.
Oh,
got
hey.
That one.
Good this time of year.
And we've got a little bit after that, our favorite holiday smells. We got to touch on that one, too.
That one makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
But as soon as you say it, I think of some.
Great. That's good. Right now, though, we've been sitting on this for way too long, Melissa. We're going to tell people how to look younger.
Oh, good.
We got it. We got the trick. We have the trick.
Is it a cream?
It is.
Are we making it in the back?
It's not a cream. It is this new thing. It's called the Mel and James Cure-All Formula.
It's
working
a small
title.
Pill you take.
Yes.
You know, once in your life and you're good.
You're good. It's it. It's actually almost easier than that, Melissa. Throw out all your face creams and cancel your gym membership. Turns out if you want to look young, hot, and sexy, all you got to do is be thoughtful towards other people. Actually, that sounds a little tougher than expected. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe for some of us.
Some people. This isn't some, kind of like hippy-dippy philosophical kind of deal or anything like that, or something that we're just saying, it metaphorically or anything. Being compassionate literally affects your aging process for the better. Our DNA markers that correspond to aging are called telomeres. Get shorter as we get older, which makes us age.
Yeah, on cells. I just read this when I was reading The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Oh, cool. But scientists have found that people who are truly compassionate, loving, and empathetic keep their telomeres big and strong for a longer time. So,
really?
So the more compassionate you are, the more attractive and young you will look.
That is fascinating, because every time your cells regenerate, those are shorter, those telomeres.
Yes.
And that's what causes the aging process. So you're telling me that by being compassionate and thoughtful and empathetic, those, when your cells regenerate, they don't get as short as fast. Huh. That's too cool.
I think that when I think of certain people that I've known in my life that lived a long life, And it seemed to age gracefully. I am thinking of, oh, wow, well, all of them had really good hearts. Like, they were really good people.
Mm, kind people.
It's kind of interesting to see how this connects. The science and the just what we would think. This is something that your mom would tell you as a kid, and everything. Hey, being compassionate keeps you young. You keep that face for too long and it'll stay.
Right? The wind's going to change. It's going to stay that way.
Yep. Yeah. It seems like one of those kind of things. It's cool to see the science backing this.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's not the end all be all because, my mom was a very kind, sweet, compassionate woman, and she died very young, but, breast cancer. And then there's other people in my life that I know that lived forever, and they were the meanest people in the world.
Yeah, we always, the phrase, why did the good die young, that kind of thing. Yep. So there are certainly outliers to all of this.
But the science is still cool.
Well, and I don't see like other creams and pills and different things that you can do to try to look younger. They all have side effects. Mm-hmm. What's the side effect to this? You know,
right.
If you're a good person and you get to your deathbed and you're not looking, you know, as young as you think you should, I'm sorry. I guess that's the catch.
You know, you have a lot of people at your funeral because you were nice.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, there's no real side effect.
Your family has to order more slider sandwiches.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But seems like a win-win kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I noticed this when I work, especially being, you know, working with younger people a lot with my students and everything. You can't help but feel a little younger. You can't help but feel a little more, have a little more energy in that. I feel the same way when I do things, good things. I feel younger. I feel more alive. I feel more energetic.
Yeah. It's fulfilling to give back and to be kind. It really is.
It goes a lot farther than I think we even realize.
Mm-hmm.
So we told people how to look younger. Let's help them lose some weight.
Right on.
Most new diets come with complicated rules and lists of foods that you can and can't eat. But this one is simple and delicious. Hmm. A strange new study claims that simply eating potatoes could help you lose weight. Potatoes do have some vitamins and nutrients, but that isn't really the point. The idea is that potatoes are low in calories and filling, so eating potatoes could mean that you don't eat as much.
Okay.
During the study, they replaced portions of people's meals with potatoes, mashed potatoes, potato wedges, potato salad, and scalloped potatoes. One researcher said people tend to eat the same weight of food regardless of calorie content in order to feel full. By eating foods with a heavier weight that are low in calories, you can easily reduce the number of calories you consume.
Hmm. So, but they are high in carbs.
Yeah, I got nothing to, this is not my wheelhouse, so I'm simply reading the story and backing away from the conversation.
No, it is, you know, for somebody who doesn't necessarily have any restrictions with what they're worried about eating, you know, people that have diabetes or high blood pressure, high blood sugar are trying to watch carbs, so this diet wouldn't work for them. But for everybody else, it's not a bad idea, as long as you don't get the potatoes in the form of potato chips. That's not going to help your diet.
What about French fries? What about French fries?
Nope.
Darn, come on.
Any potatoes fried in oil? Nope.
I'm not sure about that. I'm going to research this.
If you want to do baked chips, that's a little better, but I still wouldn't replace massive amounts of your meals with that.
Baked potato chips. I don't know if I've had, I'm sure I have, but yeah. That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're okay.
That sounds pretty interesting to me.
But potatoes are good. James, potatoes are good.
Yes, I have nothing. I generally have nothing against potatoes for other people. For other people, I have no problem with them whatsoever.
Okay. But to be fair, this really doesn't apply to you. You don't need to lose weight ever.
No.
So don't feel like you need to put mashed potatoes on your plate, because you're not going to eat them anyway. And they're not going to, you know, put weight on your body. So
when my oldest was over for Thanksgiving, we were joking about this, and my mom did the thing. Well, yeah, because they were teasing me about my weight and everything. And in your 50s, that's when you'll put on weight. I'm like, Mom, she's in my 20s, it was, oh, in your 30s. In my 30s, it was, oh, in your 40s. And now they're pushing it back to there. Like, I'm starting to think that she's just going to keep doing this until she's not around anymore, so she doesn't have to keep saying, in your 90s, you'll put on weight, Jimmy. Like,
but see, that helps her not worry about you then.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Whatever. Boy, has my mother earned just a break from worrying about her oldest son.
Yes. She,
maybe more than any other parent in human history, has earned a break from worrying about me. Yes. That's a very strong point. I did want to touch on this story real quick. It comes to us from UPI.com, and Ben Hooper does some really nice reporting for them. The U.S. Postal Service is seeking volunteer Santas to answer letters from children as part of the organization's annual Operation Santa.
Oh, really?
Yep. This is Giving Tuesday, and as we touched on, you know, there's lots of ways for people to give financially, certainly volunteering your time, and things like this count too, I would think.
That's really cool.
The USPS has said volunteers will be asked to browse through letters to Santa and adopt, quote unquote, adopt the ones they love. The volunteers will then reply to the letters in the character as Santa Claus. Prospective Santas are being asked to register to create an Operation Santa account so that identities can be verified for participation. There, of course, will be background checks and that kind of thing, I believe, done on this.
Well, I would hope so.
The letter response program is open through December 19th.
Aw, that's my mom's birthday.
Oh, that's really cool. That's fitting. That's very cool to hear. certainly, you can find out more on this one if you go to the UPS website. They you know, your local ones should be able to help you with that as well. That website, USPSOperationSanta.com. So that's USPSOperationSanta.com.
Yep, popped right up.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm going to do this one. I encourage other people to. But that, I mean, it's so for like as board members on at the Family Center every year for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, we send out letters to people that donate throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of they are thank you things, letting them know we appreciate them. We do about 40 to 50 of these a piece, like each one of us.
Wow.
To me, I'm already in the mode of doing that. So, like, doing things like this just kind of like, I don't know.
Just fit right in.
Yeah, just put it right on my pile. Just, you know, we'll just go ahead. I also think that we talk about that, at least I've talked about this a number of times on the air. With the skill sets some of us have, there's not a whole lot of opportunities to get. There's not, what can I do with this skill set? How can I give back? I can't take blood from somebody. I can't do certain things like that. I'm not an educator in the traditional sense and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So what can we do? Yeah, I can write. I'm pretty okay at that. You know, things like that that you can do. There's ways to give that you can find that fit your skill set. You just got to dig a little bit. You just got to find ways to do it. Every year I go to shelters and do my Simpsons one-man show. No, I'm joking.
And the dogs love it.
But you can go to shelters, whether it's a humane society or it is a people's shelter, whatever you might say. And ways to, I don't want to say entertain people, but to bring some smiles, bring some, you know, joy to the area. There's so many things like that that you can do.
Yes.
There's plenty of ways out there. Just, you know, be a little creative with it. Think about it. And if anything else, you know, look into, reaching out to nonprofits and seeing, hey, what can I do? How can I help? This is my situation.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the Operation Santa is another great way to do that. Again, that website, USPSOperationSanta.com. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Coming right up here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. And 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. I'm going to dive right into the list. And Melissa, I need you to give me a 1 or a 2.
Let's go with 2.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Sherry Newsom.
Happy birthday, Sherry.
We hope you have a fantastic day, Sherry. Enjoy. And our qualifier today, well, could have qualified yesterday, actually, because I don't know. So this one we got off of Facebook, and yesterday it said that yesterday was Joe Bachman's birthday. And now today they're saying is Joe Bachman's birthday. So I'm not sure which one it is, but Joe, you're fantastic. We appreciate you. Of course, Joe running things over there at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, doing a fantastic job. Appreciate awesome. That. Joe does a lot community theater-wise in this area as well. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Yeah, you can't talk to Joe and not want to talk to him for hours. He's a good guy. And he is our qualifier today.
Congratulations, Joe.
Yeah, congrats. Whenever your birthday is, Joe. We take a look at some celebrity birthdays now. And Russell Wilson is 34, current Denver Ooh. Broncos quarterback, married to Sierra, former Wisconsin Badger. He's been having a rough season. There is no nice way to put this. It's just been a really rough year for him. It's not. It's hard to tell with football players. Is this a decline in his play? Has Father Time caught up to him, or is it, you know, the new coaching, the new system, a new city? It's hard to tell. But I don't know. I'm not. I can't count Russell Wilson out just yet. I mean, he's still young at 34 for the position. And it's hard for me to imagine that he's all, you know, maybe he is, maybe he's done, but I don't think so. I'm not going to count him out just yet. Let's see here. The Game is 43, former, still a hip-hop artist. I believe he's still doing hip-hop.
Okay.
I don't know when the last time he had an album come out or anything, though. But
I never heard of him.
One of my favorite actresses, you know, especially when it comes to TV or just comedy in general, if you're kind of like categorizing it, Anna Faris is 46 today. Chrissy on Mom, you know, horror movie people might know her from the Scary Movie movies. She was in like that bunny movie. I can't think of what it was called, the House Bunny or something like that.
That might be it. Yes, I can't, House Bunny.
Yeah, something.
The
I don't
House
know.
Bunny.
Everything I've seen her in, I just love her work. I think she's funny. She has such a wonderfully expressive face. I think she is fearless when it comes to comedy. Like, I've heard directors talk about her, and they, hey, will you do this? And thinking she won't because she's a pretty young actress, and she's already doing it. Like, she's one of those just great, you know, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. You know, whatever it takes to make the scene, make people laugh. Yeah. I appreciate actors like that so much.
And that TV show, Mom, that she's in, that's 8 seasons of that.
Yeah. She ended up leaving, I think, like before the final seasons or whatever. But her work on that show was really, really good. It was a comedy, but I thought that I only got to see a couple seasons of it. But what I saw of it, they seemed to touch on subjects that I did not see a lot of TV shows doing. She's a great actress. I like her a lot. She's very talented.
Yes.
Let's see here. Jonathan Knight is 54, one of the new kids on the block.
Okay.
I did not know that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Now I remember that name. Now I recognize that name. Yeah. Yeah. I know very little, if not,
I
if anything.
I also know very little,
yeah,
too.
Not our wheelhouse.
Not us.
I'll tell you, I know a lot about this man. The great, one of the better actors in the world today, Don Cheadle, is 58. Roddy Rhodes in the Iron Man, Captain America, and Avengers movies. Marty Kane on House of Lies. Arguably his greatest work is Hotel Rwanda. If you have never seen Don Cheadle, that is the movie to see. He also was fantastic in Crash and Boogie Nights. Really good in the Ocean's 11 movies. But Don Cheadle played Miles Davis in a movie a couple of years ago. And I nominated him because I vote on the Oscars and the SAG Awards, and I nominated him, and he did not get a nod. But it will probably always remain one of the ones that is my biggest kicker. Like he should have been. It just was such good work. I know Miles Davis inside and out, and that man had every detail down playing Miles. He did complete respect to him.
That's awesome.
And it's just such a darn good actor. Andrew McCarthy is 60 today, former Brat Pack, St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Less Than Zero, Weekend at Bernie's, Mannequin. Andrew McCarthy had a run there for a while.
Yes.
Tom Sizemore is 61, former character actor. Used to see a lot of him. Did a great job when he was in. Let's see. Howie Mandel is 67.
Really?
Yeah, former stand-up comedian. Doesn't really do that anymore. More of a judge on like America's Got Talent and things like that. But still, you know, very well-known guy.
Yes.
One of the better directors in the world, Joel Coen, is 68. Of course, him and his brother Ethan tend to direct together. He wrote and directed Fargo, Raising Arizona, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, The Big Lebowski. Yeah, just a couple things. Just not
just
much.
Just a couple. You know.
Incredibly talented guy. Both him and his brother. A couple of those guys that you just give anything to work with. Wrestling fans rejoice. Jerry the King Lawler, 73 today, brilliant WWE announcer. In September of 2012, he had a near-fatal on-air heart attack during Monday Night Raw and still somehow managed to work through the segment and get out of the scene and everything. Had some famous bits with Andy Kaufman as well. Had a very interesting career, Jerry the King Lawler. Chuck Mangione is 82, composer, musician, and master of the flugelhorn. I feel so good is the song I could I think was his big hit, but you can't hear the opening notes of it and not like immediately brought back to like the '70s or something. Like, even if you weren't alive when the song was a hit, it brings you back to that time.
I just like flugelhorn.
It's
such a fun term.
There are certain words you said earlier, smorgasbord. like flugelhorn, smorgasbord, like these are words we need to bring back into our lexicon. They yes. need to be back in our
diet. Say them more often.
Yes, absolutely. And then, boy, our list of people no longer with us is extensive and impressive today. First up, one of the neurotic genius, Gary Shandling, born on this day in 1949, passed away in 2016. The Larry Sanders Show was a game changer. And so many of the things that Gary did with his career and the people that he gave opportunities to. Also, want to wish very. Would have been celebrating a birthday today. Denny Doherty from 1940, but passed away in 2007. Lead singer of the Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin', Monday, dedicated to the one I love. The great and just in. Not the same thing by any means as James Dean, but a little similar to me as a James Dean. James Dean did three films, and all three of them, great performances. Obviously, Rebel Without a Cause being his maybe arguably his greatest, although East of Eden, you could make the argument. But with such a small little career, made such a huge impact and was so integral to the acting game. I think you could say a similar thing about Chadwick Boseman, who was born on this day in 1976, passed away in 2020, way too young. Of course, T'Challa in the Black Panther movies may be what he's most famous for, but he also played James Brown in Get On Up and Jackie Robinson in 42. Anything you've ever seen Chadwick Boseman do, you saw give 1,000%, give every single thing he had, to the point where he knew how important the Black Panther character was. And he was fighting cancer while he was filming an action movie, while he's in the, you know, arguably the greatest shape and all built to like a superhero. And he's fighting cancer while he's doing that. Just such a good actor. Really meant a lot to a lot of people. And the great C.S. Lewis was born on this day. Born in 1898, passed away in 1963, author of The Chronicles of Narnia. Of course, famous roommate of J.R.R. Tolkien. great one right there.
So many books that he wrote that we love.
Yeah, I mentioned the time machine thing earlier. That joke actually comes from when I was a kid, and my mom told me how C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were college roommates together.
Really?
And all I could think in my head was, oh my gosh, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and I just want to sit in that room. I just want to hear the
fly on the wall.
Yes. I just want to know the conversations those two had.
Imagine just what they came up with that they never wrote down.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's the stuff, Mel. It'd just be pretty cool, I think, to hear those two talking.
Yeah.
And finally, in my opinion, and it's open to, you know, there's no wrong answers here, but I think the greatest announcer I've ever heard of any sport, radio, TV, anything, all the above, the great Vin Scully was born in this day. Would have been 95 today. Born in 1927, passed away in 2022. One of the best baseball sportscasters in history. Before he retired in 2016, Vin Scully did play-by-play for the Dodgers for 67 years.
Wow.
He was the youngest person to ever call a World Series game. And nobody that ever listened to Vin Scully, even for an inning, let alone for a full game, could come out of that and not think, my God, that man is an artist. He is. There's no getting around it. There are great announcers out there. We locally here have a great guy like Bob Uecker, Matt LePay, Kevin Harlan. There's some great voices that come from this state. Our own Randy Paul, I will put up there, is a great, great announcer. They're all good in their individual ways at what they do. Vin Scully was the master at this. Just you go back, listen to, I don't even care if you don't like sports, go back and listen to an inning of what Vin Scully, like him calling the perfect game in the World Series, that final inning. Just listen to that alone. And the way that he was smart enough to, like, there were times where you want to fill silence. That's what we do in all these mediums when it comes to sound. Silence is a death killer. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Vin Scully realized sometimes silence is this is golden. Sometimes it is key to the job, especially when you can have the audience. You hear the crowd in the background and everything. Mm-hmm. He saw things in such a bigger picture. To this day, people are still learning from his craft and learning from what he did.
Well, if you look at pictures of him, he just looks like he loved what he did.
Yeah, yeah. I love seeing pictures of Vin Scully in the booth. Yeah. Yes, yeah. And just again, one more time, wish a very happy birthday to Sherry Newsom.
Happy birthday, Sherry.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Joe Bachman. Happy birthday, Joe.
Congratulations, Joe.
And we encourage you to sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news, and then get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious. There it is.
It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Doris Day?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the good call. Good call. I believe so. Oh, that voice. God, one of the most beautiful voices ever. That's such a great voice. Welcome back to Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:40 on the clock. Just turned 9:40. 8:40. Darn clock. I'm going to destroy this clock.
You'll figure that out eventually.
I've been working so hard to try to figure out the timer on this darn board, and I cannot. I got everything else figured out on this darn thing but the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, and many people will, I'm sure, out there, when the VCR, when it was a nightmare to try to figure out how to set the time on the VCR?
Yeah. Or even the time on your car clock.
Yeah, no, that one I still struggle with.
Like your radio clock in your car, that can be really difficult.
Had one of your former roommates, a little human in there, trying to fix it for me. And
well, even, she probably could do it better than you.
She had a better shot at it than I did, that's for sure. We got to get into this one, Melissa. What's the dumbest, most elaborate prank you've ever pulled? You think about that one, everybody. Well, a man, this guy made trumpet. A man in New York says he added an unopened block of cheese to his work fridge for a month. And then he started posting videos on TikTok. In his first one, there are about 15 blocks of cheese in the fridge, stacked in the corner. He said that no one said anything about the accumulating cheese. Until one day, he was about to add his daily block of cheese, only to find all the cheese was gone.
They're adding blocks of cheese each day. That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. I like harmless pranks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like weird harmless pranks, I'm always a fan of. Mm-hmm. There was a note inside that said, "I saw your video. The cheese is mine now."
Oh, that's hilarious.
He hasn't commented on the stunt since, but people are commenting about how expensive it might have been.
Yeah, cheese is not cheap.
Especially buying blocks of cheese.
Right.
I'm trying to think, like, I like these kind of pranks where you can do these things and you're not really hurting anybody. They're a little inconvenient, but that's part of the bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think, like, now of, you know, of different ways you could do this, like other things you could do this with, not necessarily just in the fridge, but like leaving things, we used to do around here, leaving stuff on the chair. Like mm-hmm. When I knew that Carl was going to come in to do over the back fence or something like that, like I'd leave like his coffee cup on the chair or something like that. And I don't know. There's silly stuff like that that you do that are just they're fun pranks.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this, now this has never happened in my radio life, but in another job that I was in, the pranking was fun and all, and then somebody took it way too far, like extreme, like way, way, way too far. So that's the catch there. You got to know your limits there.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one that can be a lot of fun.
Your cheese is now mine.
I love the response.
Right. I saw your video.
I got to say, he wasn't doing a great job. I mean, TikTok is not exactly the place to go to be able to hide those things, exactly.
Well, I mean, it kind of depends, I suppose, because there's a lot of videos on TikTok from what I've heard. I'm not personally seen it myself, but...
Yeah. I hear you there. So this is kind of interesting, too. InstaFest. There's a website called InstaFest.app. It is Insta fest.app, all one word, that will curate your own personalized music festival lineup.
Really?
All you have to do is sign into your Spotify account. Then it uses your most listened to artists. You have the option to have it calculated using the last 4 weeks, the last 6 months, or all time.
Hmm.
You can choose the style of the graphic. There's Malibu Sunrise, LA Twilight, and Mojave Dusk.
Okay.
You can name your festival too, or it'll default it to your username.
Okay.
That sounds kind of fun.
Why not?
I know that for me, I have a daily soundtrack. Every day I've got a different soundtrack going, and it starts with hitting shuffle. And just whatever pops up, that's where I go. That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. I do it pretty much every day. I shouldn't say every day, but I'd say virtually every day. That can get boring. That can get a little old sometimes, especially if you're just, you know, you've got the same, you know, 500 songs you're always flipping through and everything. You know, you do this every day of your life, it's going to add up. I like the idea of kind of giving you an option of changing it up while not necessarily, you know, playing a bunch of songs that you don't want to hear.
Yeah, and I like the feature on, like, YouTube Music, because that's what I use, to be able to go to an artist that you like and then click radio, where it will play similar to that artist, just stuff, all different kinds of stuff. And it does help you introduce you to new music you haven't heard before. I don't like all of it, but, you know.
See, that's what I like about I'll be honest, I don't really use Spotify that much. When it comes to, like, new artists, and that's where they are, that's why I'll go there. But otherwise, I use Pandora a lot because of a lot of what you were just talking about. Pandora, you know, I like Miles Davis, you know, and so I'll put Miles Davis in, and then it plays a bunch of other artists similar to him that maybe I haven't heard before, or music from that artist that I haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Everybody's got a different one that they like using. They're all good. They at least they all seem good. I have a bit of an issue with the way Spotify pays their artists, but I'm pretty sure you can nitpick at every one of these apps and those kind of things.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's
some give and take.
LA Twilight. I like the idea of, are you going to a music festival that's named Mojave Dusk? I don't know if I'm going to that music festival. I'm not sure I'm going to check that one out.
I might.
Maybe. Maybe it depends on who's playing. The way it is right now with music festivals and everything. I mean, get your tickets, but, you know, cross your fingers. I don't even know if it's going to happen. I don't even know if it's going to actually happen or not. So we'll take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll get into Merriam-Webster announced its Word of the Year.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
We're going to talk about that when we come back on Mornings at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. We're looking at our clock. It is 8:49 on the clock, and James and Melissa are here with you. Want to dive in? I was just waiting for my computer to kick in, I'll be honest with you. I was just waiting for it. It was dead. There we go. Now we're ready to go. We're going to dive into a fun one here. We're 11 months into 2022, but apparently Merriam-Webster has seen enough. Merriam-Webster just announced its Word of the Year for 2022, and it is gaslighting.
Yes.
Of course, they're not talking about the 19th century streetlights, of course. This is a reference to manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
They say, quote, in this age of misinformation, quote, fake news, conspiracy theories, Twitter trolls, and deep fakes, gaslighting has emerged as a word of our time. It's defined as the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage, or the psychological manipulation of a person, usually over an extended period of time, that causes them to question reality. Mm-hmm. 2022 saw a 1,740% increase in lookups of gaslighting. Gaslighting was inspired by the 1944 movie Gaslight and the play it's based on, where a husband uses trickery to convince his wife that she is mentally unwell so he can steal from her. I think that when it comes to the words, I mean, I like the English language, and I think words are fun and interesting. We were just talking earlier about smorgasbord and things like that. There's that part of the language that I just find fascinating and interesting. And then there is the other part of it where words are important, but they only mean what we put into them. Everything should be taken with intent and context. Certain things... I hear all kinds of women all the time calling each other the B word, and they're the best friends in the world.
Right.
You know, they say that to somebody else, it may have a different intention and different meaning, but saying it to each other, it's perfectly fine. In fact, you
can,
yes, you can tell that these two are very close by them calling each other that.
Right.
There are other similar words in our you know, lexicon that we use like this and everything, and then there are words that I believe the definition of them and the meaning of them should be known by everybody. This is one of them.
Yes.
People should be aware of what gaslight, because it's not just understanding the word, but understanding what it does and what it can cause, and making especially young people, but really anybody, more aware of what gaslighting is.
Yes, because people who are experiencing it don't always know that's what's happening. Somebody that is very narcissistic will gaslight their partner because it allows them to control and to manipulate them how it works best for them.
I don't think we meant, when we talk about narcissism, I don't think we add the word coward nearly enough to that. But I've never met a narcissist who wasn't also a coward. And gaslighting is a cowardly act. Mm-hmm. Any of this kind of mental manipulation is a cowardly act. And we need to call that out more often. If you're wondering why I use the word coward very often, it's statistically and scientifically proven men react very differently to that word than some other people do. And if you're calling a man, you can call a man a lot of things. You call him a coward and all of a sudden his ears perk up and they start listening to that. So I don't use that word lightly. And I think that cowardly acts should be called out. We need to have accountability to these things and show that what the right side of history is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The nine runner-ups were oligarch. Oligarch. I knew I was saying it wrong. Oligarch.
You were close.
Due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, that, of course, gained a lot more popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Omicron, because of the persistent COVID-19 variant.
Yeah.
Codify, as in turning abortion rights into federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Queen consort, what King Charles' wife Camilla now is.
Okay.
I think I heard that one. Queen consort, okay.
I've heard it before, but usually in like historical novels.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably came across it there.
Mm.
A raid due to the search of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Sentinent. After an engineer freaked us out over an unreleased AI system. I get to see that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel culture. That's certainly been put into our universe.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQIA, the abbreviation for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning, intersex, plus asexual, aromic, or agender.
Mm-hmm.
And Lomi. Lomi, L-O-A-M-Y,
okay.
After it was brought into pop culture thanks to Wordle. Lomi is a fun word to say.
Soil. Soil consisting of a friable mixture of varying proportions of clay, silt, and sand.
Huh. Lomi. I like it. I feel like there's that should be a Disney or a Pixar character.
It probably is. It's a worm.
It's a worm. Yeah. Oh, Lomi the worm. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Oh, you're welcome.
And you know,
Disney.
Worms. Yeah, they taste with their whole body, so it's a happy worm.
It's a very Lomi. Happy worm. Yes. Yes. Lomi the happy worm. Yes. Oh, I think we just created a kids show. We did.
That's, we might have.
Well, you know, you see how many celebrities have kids' books. You know, I mean, why not us? Why not?
Why not? We can all do the voices too. Because
yes.
Why not?
That is something that I'm glad you brought up, because that's something I want us to do more of. WFHR theater. I want to do more of that with director's cut and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I will have some fun with that. Keep on the lookout for that, everybody. Are there any words that you can think of off the top of your head that you would like honorable mentions, or you think should be a part of the list?
Bizarre.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good word to describe the last several years.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's a very safe one. Yes.
Uh-huh.
How about like I think metaverse and multiverse and a lot of those are good. Those have been brought up a lot in recent years. What about like ones that I never see on here, like low key? You know,
okay.
That's a popular one. That's one we've used for a very long time, and I don't know if that's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary or not. I'm not sure. Awesome sauce, huh? Awesome sauce. That's a good one. That's a fun one. Do we need to make more like new slang words?
Probably, because nothing is. We want things to be cake.
Yes, Mel. Cake is yes. That now that's a word right there. But that does also kind of like, as I was going to say, we've kind of gotten lazy with this. We've been using a lot of words that we already use, like, oh, that's lit, or that's fire,
yeah.
Or, you know, that. I feel like those are lazy. I feel like we can do better than that.
What about sus?
Yes. I don't know about that one, actually. I don't know about that one.
I don't either, but I've heard it used a lot.
You know, I have heard it used a lot. You're right. I have as well heard it used a lot. That's a good one. Like awesome sauce, like awesome, like things like that, like using these kind of words. I think we need more of those in there. I don't know. I don't have any. I got nothing to really add to this, but I do think there's some better ones out there.
I like that. When groups of friends or family, we've talked about this before, like the family dialect type stuff,
yeah.
But when you have it with your friends and you have words that you use with each other that don't have the same meaning outside of your friend group or your family group, those are fun.
But hangry. Hangry seems like one that could be in there. That seems like another one.
I'm sure that will make it in there soon.
Probably, yes. Either way, kind of interesting. And it's always interesting to me to see how our language expands.
Words are just fascinating.
Yes.
Like, the English language is such a mess. And the weird thing is, you know, it's one of the hardest languages to learn. One of. Because there are several that are difficult. But it's hard to learn if you're not a native English speaker. And then, also, we have words that don't mean enough. Like, we don't have... What language is it that has so many different words for love? Whereas we have love. You know? I mean, so while our language is vast and phenomenal and awesome, it's also limiting in some ways.
True. And misleading, you know, in some ways. I think of the word free. There is a lot of talk right now about freedom of speech and how people should be allowed to, you know, speak and say whatever they want. And in our country, just looking at our country in general, that is a something that we have. That is a Constitution Amendment. That is something that is a part of our. But that doesn't. You have to keep reading. You can't just read the opening sentence of that and say, okay, well, that means I can say whatever I want and I can spew hate and I can be in, you know, I can be in an airport and putting up the Nazi, you know, Heil Hitler and all that stuff and everything. And then there are all these groups of people that come out and say that somebody should be able to do that stuff. There is a catch. There isn't just these things were not just handed to us and then, hey, go ahead and run free with them. They come with context. They come with, you know, you cannot yell fire in a crowded room and run out of there and not have some accountability to that.
Well, no, because people are going to get hurt. And that's the foundation of that. You know, each one of us has a burden to society. You know, we're not just here alone.
Yeah.
We're not here as an island. We can't exist all by ourselves. This entire planet works because we work together.
Yeah, very well said. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into a bunch of Not Any Right stuff, good stories of the day, got some entertainment news, all coming up with Melissa and James here on Mornings at WFHR.